Okay, we're in the Gemara, Makkos Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, some other laws regarding the killer who dies before his exile begins. Okay, we're going to talk about the burial of the killer, but we'll see what happens. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Naktinan, we hold the following as a tradition. In other words, it's a tradition that handed down from our fathers. This following halacha. Nigmardino, the fellow is sentenced to go to exile, but before he can go to exile, vamesh, and he dies. Okay, now the question is, what do we do with the body? What do you say?
The question is where?
I'm saying, where do you bury him?
Where do you bury him? So, they're not send him to exile to bury him. Bury him where he died.
Okay. Molichin es asmo sof l'sham. We take his bodies there to the city of refuge.
Oh,
he has to be taken to the city of refuge. How do we know this? Tichsiv. The pasuk says... Now, this pasuk is dealing with telling you can't come back. The person who is in exile can't return back until the death of the Kohen Gadol.
Oh.
So now he explains like this. The pasuk says, it says, Lashuv Losheves Bo'aretz Admos HaKohen. Which means the pasuk before says, and you shall not take a ransom from one who has fled to his city of refuge to return to dwell in the land before the coin dies. In other words, the guy might want to say, I'll pay money so I can come back early. He says, no, we're not going to take any money. You can't return before the coin dies.
Hmm.
So now the question is, and it says, Lashavas Ba'aretz, let's go back. It says, to live in the land, to return, to dwell in the land before the coin goes. So what's Ezo Yeshiva? What kind of dwelling is it that's described in the land? How do you dwell in the land? Haviyomer Zekfura. So we would say dwelling in the land is burial. Okay, so the words to dwell in the land teach that the killer who dies before the exile begins is transported to the city of refuge and he's buried there. Now, how do we get that exactly? Well, the pasuk could have simply said, Lashuv Admos HaKohen. He's there until the kohen dies. Why does it have to say the words, Lashav Esparetz? Obviously, when you return, you return. You return to live. Why do you have to add the words, Lashav Esparetz, to dwell in the land? That's extra. Therefore, it says, means to dwell in the land. In the land means in the ground. You get buried there. Thus, the pasuk's teaching that a killer who dies before traveling to the city of refuge must be transported to the city and buried there. Okay, so that's an interesting halacha. Now, we've got to come to another interesting halacha. That was Abaye. Now, Tana, Braisa teaches the following. Sure.
Off to the
Hang on. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it today. Mirtz Hashem. What happens after the Kohen Gadol dies? We'll get to it. Mace. Kodim Shemace Kohen Gadol. What if he dies in the city of refuge before the Kohen Gadol died? In other words, he was just buried there. And then the Kohen Gadol dies. He dies before the Kohen Gadol dies. And now the Kohen Gadol dies. So, Molichi Natsmosov Al Kivrei Avosov. The bones are transported to the burial grounds of his ancestors. How do we know that?
That's a waste of time to bury him in the first place in the city of refuge. He's going to go back anyway. So.
Yeah,
I don't understand the reason for that.
Well, let's just finish this first. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says, Yashov harotzeach al eretz achuz aso. The killer returns to the land of his ancestral holdings. Ezo yeshiva shiba eretz achuz aso. What kind of dwelling is in the land of his ancestral holdings? Havi omer zokvur. I would say that's burial. Again, the pasuk, that part of the pasuk is extra as well. It could just say he just returns. Why say to the land of his ancestral holdings? Could have just said the killer returns. Therefore, it says it's referring to burial. So the pasuk says that upon the death of the Kohen Gadol, his remains are brought back to the ancestral burial grounds. Seemingly, the b'raisa means only to permit moving the killer's bones. It is not obligating us to do so. It says you can't. However, the Siach Yitzchak maintains that it's obligatory to remove the bones from the city of refuge after that the Kohen Gadol. Seeing that's the view of the Meiri as well. Okay, from this b'raisa is very important. This is the source to permit the exhumation of a prisoner's remains in order to bury them in an ancestral burial ground. In other words, a person wants that, whatever, he died somewhere, they buried him over there, then they realize, oh, he came from another city, and he wants to be exhumed to be buried where his parents are buried, you're allowed to. So, okay, if you remember, yeah, on Wednesday or Thursday, we discussed this idea that he's buried in the Ir HaMikla because of the three times it says Shem. There he will live, there he will die, there he will be buried. And that's what we explained the Shabbos morning. That whole idea of that you have to be connected to people who are close to Hashem. Remember? So you got to be connected in your lifetime and outside your lifetime. Mm-hmm. So there's even a reason to be connected. We said it's not a question just to be saved from the Gol Hadam. It's a question to be connected to the Levim, where people are close to Hashem. We said that on Shabbos morning. Therefore, he has to be close to these people in his lifetime, when he's dying, and even after he dies, there is a merit for his soul and body to still be connected to those people. When a person dies and where he's buried, it's very important where a person's buried. It's not a simple thing. If it wasn't such a simple thing, why would we have Jewish burial grounds? We don't have it just because we're Jews. It's nothing to do with being Jews. Well, it does. It has everything to do with being Jews, but you're a Jew after you die too.
Yeah.
And you don't bury yourself next to a goy.
Right.
You can say, what's the matter? He's dead. Yeah. No, he still has a neshama that's connected to the remains of that body. And therefore, we want him just like we wanted this fellow to live with Levim, so that they would rub off on him and bring him closer to Hashem. That can also happen in your death. So therefore, it's till the Kohen Gadol dies. And his body is meant to be there until the Kohen Gadol dies. That means even his dead body should be buried near people who are righteous as well. So that's why he has to be buried there. It's all kinds of mystical stuff.
Rabbi, in the city of refuge, he was also buried amongst Jews. There are no other people there to be buried. So it's not like he's totally away from...
He's not, but right, but he's still buried next to holy people.
Yeah, well, Kohen Gadol is there, he died there and all that.
No, Kohen Gadol doesn't live in the city of refuge.
Where is he buried?
I don't know, but Levim are in the city of refuge.
So
we're saying there's a virtue for him to be buried next to Levim.
So they're in the city of refuge.
Right, so then, when the Kohen Gadol dies, then you exhume the body, take it back home. So he has to be buried next to tzaddikim, just like he has to live with tzaddikim. Alright?
I'll just leave him there if it's such a merit.
But he's in the city of refuge, he lives with tzaddikim all the time. They're there, the Levim. They're not like they're somewhere else.
Okay, so what's your question?
The question, why do they say they'd have to go back to the ancestral line? Because he's...
If the family wants him back.
Well, that's a different story.
We said there's a machlokas, if you're permitted or you're obliged. You could see a family would want to do that. I mean, there was something to be buried amongst family.
Okay,
so then after the Kohen Gadol dies, he's brought back to his family. Okay, now we get to a little bit of a little more difficult, short sugi over here. It's not too hard. Now comes a fascinating shaila. Nigmar Dino. Okay, the guy is judged. Okay, it's finalized. Okay, and he's supposed to go into exile. Okay, now what happens before they send him into exile. But really, this Shiloh would also be even if they did send him into exile, the commentaries mention. So that's not the real issue. You'll see in a second. But we find out later, Venasa Kohen, it means the Kohen Gadol, Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Somehow, the Kohen Gadol has been serving the Beis HaMikdash. A question came up about his lineage, although you're going to ask, why in the world were they not 100% sure beforehand?
That's right.
But that's
right.
Regardless. And then they find out that his father married a divorcee, or a chalutza. Which he's not permitted to marry, and therefore makes the child a cholol, who is not allowed to work as a kohen, or to certainly serve as a kohen gadol.
Sure.
Okay, the child of a union between a kohen and a divorcee, or chalutza, although the chalutza you'll see is just rabbinic, so it's not, the real question is from divorcee, not so much from a chalutza. Because chalutza is not biblical, it's rabbinic, so that would make a difference. But a cholo may not perform avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, certainly not be a kohen gadol. So now the question is, do we send him to the city of refuge or not?
It's good,
okay.
As a kohen gadol.
Now, we have to back it up a little bit. There's one other point over here. That, remember we said one whose sentence was finalized without there being a kohen gadol at the time of the sentencing. Remember we said it remains there forever? Okay, so now the guy's been sentenced, but now the question is, after he's sentenced, before he goes, they find out the kohen gadol was a ben karusha. So the question now is, was there a kohen gadol in his lifetime when he killed or not during the sentencing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What are we going to say that retroactively he wasn't a kohen gadol.
Yeah.
So if it's retroactively not a kohen gadol, then it's like there was no kohen gadol
when he
did what he did.
Yeah.
Okay. And therefore, what's the halacha? The guy goes into exile. He goes into exile.
He never comes back.
Remember, we had that case. He goes into exile, he never comes back because there's no kohen gadol who was there at the time of the sentencing. Remember, we said no kohen gadol at the time of the sentencing. He stays there forever because they can't blame the next kohen gadol. So he's stuck. So now the question is, are we going to say that over here? Like there was no kohen gadol. Now, it would also be a question if, let's say, he was sentenced even, and even if he went. And then we find out this kohen gadol wasn't kohen gadol. Then the question would be, does he stay there forever, or does he get to come home right away? But he really wasn't a kohen gadol. If you find out today that his father was married a divorcee, then he was never a kohen gadol. That's going to be a discussion.
Or a
servicing coin. He is a coin, but he's not a coin gadol. So the question is, what's the status of this? You see, the question is going to enlarge itself shortly. Anyway, pligi bar Ravami Ravasi Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So machlokas in Ravami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. We don't know who said what, but we know what the two opinions are. Chad Omar once say we treat this when the coin is revealed that he's the son of a divorcee, we treat it as if Mesa Kohuna. The Kohuna has died. So in other words, that when a Kohen Gadol becomes unfit for office, it only is from the time he's discovered. So it's as if the Kohen Gadol has died, therefore the killer is not exiled. Because then it's a case of the Kohen Gadol ipso facto, I think that's the word to use, dying. Because being proven he wasn't, it's like he died, but now, right? For the kohen gadol's disqualification, like his death, frees the killer from exile. According to this view, the disqualification, here's the question, the real question is, when does the disqualification take effect? Is it from this moment on, or is it retroactively from the beginning? That's the machlokes. So he holds, it does not invalidate the coin retroactively. See the Gemara coming up. This ruling holds true also, I've mentioned, with regard to one who has already traveled to the city of refuge. It doesn't have to only be the case where he has not yet gone. He's already traveled. If the kohen gadol is found to be the son of a divorcee, or the son of a chalutza, the exile returns home, according to one rabbi. So that's the question. The invalidation of the Kohen Gadol, what do we treat it like? Do we treat it, it's as if he died now, meaning he's invalid now, but not retroactively? V'chad Omer, no, it's not that the Kohen died. It's like he died, but v'chad Omer, butla kahuna. The kahuna was nullified. That means since it's now been revealed that the Kohen was never fit for his office, his status as Kohen Gadol is nullified retroactively. It emerged there is no Kohen Gadol time of sentencing. Therefore, the exile must remain the city of refuge forever. According to this view, the Kohen Gadol's disqualification invalidates him retroactively. Okay. Now, I'm surprised nobody hasn't asked me another question yet.
What about the Yom Kippur avodah?
What happens?
Before he was discovered.
To all the what?
The decisions and acts that he did.
Acts. Decisions isn't so important. Acts. He's been bringing karbanas for 40 years.
Right, that's right.
Minchas chavitin. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, a Kohen Gadol. Certain things he has to do. He has to bring a meal offering every day. He has to do certain service on Yom Kippur. And there's other services. He could, if he wants any day, say, I want to do this one.
Wow.
So now, we haven't talked about that. Well, that's coming up in the next discussion.
Don't they check him out properly?
I understand. Listen, like I said, if the world was perfect, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch would be one-tenth of its size. Right? If medical procedures always went according to plan, you wouldn't have to be in medical school for so many years. Right? But it's because things don't work out the way this was. So somebody was supposed to check it. He thought he checked. Or somebody lied. Whatever. You're right. It's supposed to be. But we have to have some rules in case it isn't. So, remember, Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha are Amoroim. So they're having a discussion related to the galus of a person who kills b'shogeg. Where it's relevant is the Kohen considered as if he died now, or is it relatively no good? So Gemara says, well, really, they haven't uncovered, it would appear they haven't uncovered any new machlokas, because it's an old machlokas, tanoim, regarding that very issue we brought up. So Gemara is now questioning, lema, let us say, biplukta de Rebbe Eliezer v'Rebbe Yeshua kamiflegi. They really are arguing about the very same issue that Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua tanoim are arguing about. And what do they argue about? Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Terumos. What if a Kohen was standing and offering sacrifices on the Mizbeach? Okay, and let's say he just brought a korban this minute. Vinoda, 1 second. Now here is a regular Kohen. It doesn't have to be a Kohen Gadol, because it's a Shiloh, it's the same Shiloh. Doesn't matter if it's a Kohen doing his service or Kohen Gadol. If we find out retroactively, whatever we're going to say by one, we got to say by the other. So that's why it's the same issue. But Kohen is just doing his service. And he's just finished bringing a korban, or he's in the middle of it, whatever. Vinoda, now, only now it's found out. Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So now the question is, the korbanos that he's brought today, let's say, and going backwards, now that'll make a big difference. You brought a korban chatas yesterday, and that korban chatas atoned for your sin. And this particular coin brought for you, now we found that he ain't good. Can you imagine what's going to happen now? Well, you're going to have to imagine if people for 50 years were inoculated for measles and all that stuff, and they found out that this serum that was used for this year, it was really just water. Imagine now the logistics to go back and find everybody and put announcements out and track them down. And anyway. But, okay, it's interesting to go through all the issues here. But anyway, we find out he was an invalid coin. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Eliezer says, Kol karbono shehikriv psulim. Everything he brought is retroactively invalid, and good luck fixing that up. Rebbe Yeshua says, no, machshir. He validates all the previous offerings.
Give me the tzitz.
Well, he validates all the other offerings. So let's go back to our machlokas. So Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, one of them says, regarding the Ira Miklat, it's like the coin died, or no, it's like the kahuna was nullified. So it would appear that fits in really well. Man de Omer Mesa, the one in our discussion, says it's like the coin died, and now the guy can leave the, doesn't have to go to the Yermi Club. He will hold like Rabbi Yeshua. He will hold like, I'm sorry, Mesa means it's like the coin
he wasn't died. Until he died.
He was until now. So then he was okay. He was a coin till now. So now the guy doesn't have to go to the Yermi Club. So he'll hold like Rabbi Yeshua, like Rabbi Yeshua, who's Machshir, who says that all the Karbonis until now are okay. That it's not, it's like he was there till then. Uman de Omar Batla, and the one who says that the Kuna was Batla, and retroactively he wasn't a coin Gadol regarding going to the city of refuge, well, like Rabbi Eliezer, that invalidated all the offers from before, right? Rabbi Eliezer invalidates the coin's previous offerings, clearly holds the Kuna to have been nullified retroactively. This means that a coin discovered through the son of divorcee or chalutza never really possessed Kohenic status, and in the sense of Kohen Gadol never really filled the office. Since during his tenure there was no Kohen Gadol, one sentence during that period remains in exile forever, according to that. So this, whenever we say this idea of Lema Beplukta, this pleading, so it seems that, you know, they're consistent with them, or you could even ask, so what are you telling me you're arguing? You know, isn't that the same argument as before? So, like, what's the discussion? You know, whenever you have two Tanoim arguing, and then later two Amoraim arguing, and it seems it's over the same point. So either the question is, so what are these two guys telling us that we didn't know? Yeah. Or maybe there is something, they're saying some insight. So that's what Gemara is saying. So what is this? Is this just the same old machlokas rehashed, just in another manifestation of the machlokas? Let's assume it is, to which as we turn to the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, good. So the Gemara now says, well, we'll have to figure this out a little bit. Okay, let me just get this so the size will come out normal now. Let's go back. Okay, so now, let's see now. Eliba de Rabbi Eliezer Kuli Alma Lo Pligi. According to Rabbi Eliezer, okay, you're going to see, then both Rabbi and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka agree that the kahuna is nullified. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, by retroactively invalidating the Kohen's offerings, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Kohen Rabbi Eliezer, he says the service has been retroactively, that in case he never was regarded as a Kohen. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Okay, so no one can argue on that point. Therefore, his disqualification does not return the killer from exile. Everyone would agree, if you say that he's retroactively out, then when we talk about Kohen Gadol, be the same thing. Retroactively wasn't a coil. You can't fudge Rabbi Eliezer's position. He says he was never a Kohen Gadol for offerings. So now when we put it into our discussion with the Kohen Gadol dying, he was never a Kohen Gadol dying. So there's nothing to discuss. Rabbi Eliezer would not move on that position. So the Tan of our Machlokas, one, I guess, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would seem that one would hold like Rabbi Eliezer, and the other one has to hold like the other rabbi. It's the only way to spin it. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position cannot be moved. In other words, what we're trying to say is, would Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, it seems, would say the same thing when the Kohen Gadol dies. That's what we're trying to say. Is it not the same thing? Remember, Eliezer and Yeshua only stated their machlokas by offerings of a Kohen Gadol. That's the mission. That's all they talked about. We can assume more or not, but that's what they talk about. The two rabbis over here in our Brisa, they're talking about when the Kohen Gadol dies. So we assumed, well, whatever Rabbi Eliezer would say and Rabbi Yeshua would say by the offerings will fit into Kohen Gadol dying. Same thing, isn't it? So we're saying, well, certainly Rabbi Eliezer, that would certainly be so. Because if you say it's retroactively no good for Karbanos, then he retroactively was never a coin. So then the guy killed. He killed when there wasn't a coin, and he ain't getting out of your miklat. That position cannot be moved at all, and it has to be consistent. Okay, that has to be consistent. On the other hand, ki pligi, but when there could be a machlokes, a libid Rabbi Yeshua. If these two rabbis, our two rabbis, held up Rabbi Yeshua, who said we consider it like what? Like the coin now is dead, that will not necessarily have to translate consistently to the case of Ir HaMiklat, as we shall see. as we shall see, because we're going to see in a minute. Even though Rabbi Yeshua says we treat the coin as if he died now, and his service is valid until now. Even though he says that, yet I could hear maybe he's going to say the same thing with the Ramiklet, or maybe we're going to say different, and we have to see why. Okay, we're going to see in 1 second. So he's saying, you are thus correct in saying the one who holds that the kahuna has died cannot be in accord with Rabbi Eliezer. That's for sure. The one who says the kohen has died now by Ira Miklat cannot be Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer says retroactively no good. He prefers, follows the view of Rabbi Yeshua. That's for sure. That one who says the coin has died now has to hold like Rebbe Eliezer. There's no way. However, you are incorrect, however, in saying that the one who holds the kuna has been nullified must follow you, Rebbe Eliezer. In fact, he can accord with Rebbe Yeshua as well, as the Gemara will now demonstrate. Man de Omar Mesa. So the one in our Gemara who says Mesa, he'll hold of Rabbi Yeshua. That's for sure. That it's like just right now, he's out. All right? The one who said that the kuna died is certainly according to Yeshua. He holds that just as Yeshua validates the offerings of one found to be disqualified, so too would he permit the exile to return to the basic coin Godel's disqualification. But Uman Domer Batla, the one who says that the kuna was batel retroactively for him to go, has to go to Golos, maybe only says it by that, but not by the korbanos. Maybe not. What? Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yeshua hasam. He's going to say Rabbi Yeshua said over there regarding the offerings of a disqualified kohen, who says we accept everything until then. Maybe there, because there's a special pasuk that applies by offerings regarding a kohen dying, but by nothing else. And what is that? In other words, even though he's saying retroactively everything, he says this, everything's kosher until then. Why is that? Because here's a special pasuk that says the following. Barech Hashem chelo. It says, bless his belongings, Hashem. Ufoal yado, and the deeds of his hands, tirtzeh, you should accept. Okay? Now, this is talking about the Levim, which is the Kohanim Levim. It's part of the brachas to them. So what's the bracha? We're saying, bless his belongings and the deeds of his hands. What do you mean to bless the deeds of his hands? So the Gemara, by the certain words that are used over there, deduces this following drasha. Afilu chalolim shebo, even the disqualified Kohanim among the tribe, if they inadvertently bring sacrificial offerings, the offerings are accepted. That's from a pasuk now, not from, and in many ways. We know, now what's going on? We know this verse discusses Kohanim because of the verse that precedes it, which states in reference to the avodah of the Kohanim, they shall place incense before you and burnt offerings upon your altar. The Gemara interprets our verse's mention of chelo. That's the interesting word, chelo. Hashem Shabbat is chelo. Now, when they're talking about Kohen working, what do we care about chelo, his possessions? It can't mean his belongings, because he's talking about his avoda. So refers to the word chelo, also the word chalolim, disqualified Kohanim. Same root, chalal and chelo. So accept the chalolim. Chelo is thus related to chulin, non-holy. The verse teaches that their avoda, if performed inadvertently, is valid. The way he learns that pasuk, there's a special limit for that. We say in the previous paragraph in the text that the avoda of chalolim is valid only if performed inadvertently. In other words, before they discover they are chalolim. A voter performed after their lineage is known, however, is not valid. This is the opinion of Rashi and Tosas of Rush, etc., etc. Okay, that's what they hold. We're not going to, the Rambam learns differently. We can't learn the sugya like the Rambam. But anyway, they're learning. So he's saying, the reason he says the Kohen's korbanos till now are okay, because there's a pasuk. Now, Rabbi Eliezer argues with him. I guess he's going to learn the pasuk differently, whatever. So therefore, just because the coins korbanos are okay because there's a pasuk, does not mean, so that means whatever he did in service is not retroactively nullified because of a pasuk. But he could certainly agree that he still wasn't a kohen, and that won't help a guy who killed inadvertently. In other words, when a Kohen serves inadvertently, we have a pasuk that says, accept his service, even though he didn't know he wasn't really a legal Kohen. There's a special pasuk says to accept that. Accept his service. But to accept that he was a Kohen legitimately, that we can't accept. So when the guy kills unintentionally, and now he is exiled to Golus, and now we find out the Kohen wasn't a Kohen, it's not a question of Kohen doing service in the past, it's a Kohen just now, his death, getting him off the hook. But that's not a service. So it could be even in that case, Rabbi Shu would agree he would not get to go. He'd have to go forever in that case. Afilu hacha, in this case, he might say, Afilu Rabbi Shura Moda, he would indeed agree to that case. It comes out, the Gemara explains that the one who holds that the kuna is nullified regarding korbanos can argue that Rabbi Shua's validation of the offerings of the disqualified Kohen is an anomaly based on the special teaching of the verse. With respect to other matters pertaining to the priesthood, whatever, even Rabbi Shua will agree that he was never a Kohen and that his appointment as a Kohen Gadol was never valid. We therefore regard the killer as having been sentenced without a Kohen Gadol, so remains forever in exile. Okay, so it comes out, if you're going to say Rabbi Shua agrees, so the machlokas for Rabbi Yitzchak is not necessarily that of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. It's not necessary. So we say it could be, or could be not. Could be that Rabbi Yeshua, even though he validates the past korbanos, will not make the kohen's death, we could consider it as if there was no kohen when he was sentenced. And as a matter of fact, we have to say that is the halacha. The halacha is we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that the past korbanos are okay, and we paskin that if we find out he was an invalid Kohen Gadol, the guy has to go to the city of refuge. That's the psak halacha. So we see it clearly it's not one depends on the other. So that comes out, that's the halacha. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that when we find out the Kohen Gadol was retroactively no good, he was never good, but whatever you offered, God says, listen, if they didn't know, we'll accept the korbanos. That's a special pasuk. But to say, for in any other way, no, he retroactively was not a Kohen Gadol, and therefore the guy does not leave the city of refuge forever.
No, if it was inadvertent, we were saying, that's not the same as if he actually did know, but covered it
well,
up.
Well, if a guy knows, we won't let him serve.
Yeah.
And if a guy knows he's not a Kohen Gadol and he serves, his korbanos are not good.
Right.
It's only when nobody knew. Right. We just didn't know.
He himself did not know.
He himself didn't know. Right. Nobody knew. If he knew, then he's a Russia.
That's right.
It's worse than me coming and bringing.
Right, yeah.
So we say that the reason we let the people leave when they die, the Kohen Gadol dies, because he didn't daven hard enough for there not to be people doing.
Right, so now that there's nobody who didn't.
So as part of his service that he's doing, he is doing that davening as part of his service. So why would that service?
Because he really wasn't a Kohen Gadol, and really wasn't his deal.
But it's still service.
I can't, but that's regarding service of korbanos. You can't call davening service. When we talk about avoda is bringing korbanos. That's avoda.
Our davening is also.
No. That's not. But when we're talking about halachic avoda. We're not talking about hashkafic avoda. There, the Torah says, nowhere in the Torah does it say you Kohen Gadol prays for people. That's not his avoda. That's part of being a nice Kohen Gadol. But that's part of his moral obligation. But it's not his halachic obligation. There's a fine line. If he does not bring a korban, there is no atonement. That's real avoda. That you can't get out of it. You do it or you don't. If you don't, it's not been done. Period. The guy doesn't daven hard enough. That's not an avoda. That's a nice thing that he should have done. He should have done his goal. But there's nothing that's, messed up in terms of avoda. If a Kohen has the wrong thought in the service of the animal, the whole service is nullified. Finished. Yeah, in Yom Kippur, if he has the wrong thought when he's bringing the Ketores, it's like he didn't bring the Ketores. But the prayer, to pray for people, that's not an obligatory thing that if he doesn't do it, the Avoda isn't good. It's a prayer he should make. I mean, he is a Kohen Gadol. It's a befitting that he should pray, and prayer like anybody helps, and like Kohen Gadol helps better. But if he does, let's say Kohen Gadol, because I'm not going to pray for nobody. The Avoda is 100% kosher. And that's the point. And that pasuk is relating to that kind of Avoda. Not just that. He should have prayed. It was a moral thing. He didn't fulfill that. Okay, up to the two dots. Perfect place to stop. Okay, shkayach, everybody.